Well, this broadcast is going to do it. It's going to end the study on Judeo-Christianity. But hopefully by now it is understood that Judaism and Christianity are not synonymous words, nor are they even compatible words, and they have nothing, and I mean nothing, in common with each other. In fact, they should be treated as direct opposites. In Scripture, the word Judaism is used twice, and both times it is used to describe the religion of the Jews at the time of Christ. So I want to go to another definition for you. This comes out of Zondervan's Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, Volume 3, page 727. It's under the word Judaism. It says here, Judaism may be described as the religion of the Jews in contrast to that of the Old Testament. Now, did you get that? Judaism may be described as the religion of the Jews in contrast to that of the Old Testament. So it's a new religion. It is not the religion of the Old Testament. It goes on to say that, properly speaking, Judaism ought to be regarded as beginning with the Babylonian exile. Now, we've mentioned that before, and I've documented that by other sources, but here it is again. We have already seen that Zondervan's encyclopedia plainly states that Judaism came into existence with the Babylonian exile. And now we see that Judaism is a religion of the Jews, and it is not the religion of all Israelites. And this would obviously be because the houses of Israel and Judah were in Assyrian captivity, and for the most part were not involved with Judaism, which originated after the Babylonian return from Babylon, that is. In another dictionary of words entitled Aids to Understanding, it states that Judaism is the Jewish religion. And again, you've got to separate this word Jew from Israel. You've got to change your vocabulary. A Jew is not an Israelite. An Israelite may have been a Jew at one time, but Jews are not Israelites, for the most part. Now, this book is called Aids to Understanding. I'm on page 975, and it says, in the first century CE, Judaism in its various forms was not based exclusively on the Hebrew Scriptures. The Pharisees were guilty of making God's word invalid because of their many unscriptural traditions. Not the law, which was actually a tutor leading to Christ, but these unscriptural traditions made it difficult for many to accept Christ. The law itself was good and holy, but the traditions of men served to enslave the Jews. Notice that the tradition of men served to enslave the Jews. I think that's a good line. The traditions of man will always enslave the people. And if you want to become a master over people, is all you want to do is to convince them that you are their lawmaker. Isn't that what's happened in our country today? We have convinced ourselves that Congress makes our laws, and so therefore we become the slave of Congress. But anyhow, let's get back to what we're studying here in Judaism. Thus we see that Judaism was not the religion of Moses, it was not the religion of Israel or the prophets, it was religion of the Jews. It was this nation of Jews who believed not and practiced Judaism who rejected Jesus Christ. It was not the house of Israel, and it was not the house of Judah. It is the descendants of this nation of Jews today who occupy Israel, not the houses of Israel and not the house of Judah. There are also many people living throughout the world today who practice a religion called Judaism. But they are people from various races, and they call themselves Jews because of their religious beliefs. This problem is further compounded because some of their people are Scots, some of them are Irish, Germans, Swedes, and etc. They all practice Judaism, and they all call themselves Jews. And here's a good one for you. Even Sammy Davis Jr., an African black man, claimed to be a Jew. Now, none of these people are Khazarian Jews, nor are they necessarily political Zionists, not by a long shot. They simply practice a religion called Phariseeism, today called Judaism, which, except for the name, has not been changed in some 2,000 years. I think I have previously shown you that Phariseeism or Judaism is a religion of fables and myths based upon pagan philosophies and practices. And we as Christians cannot be expected to agree with the religious beliefs of the Jews any more than we do with the Hindus, the Buddhists, or the Mohammedans, the Islams, if you will. Now I would like to ask a question here. Why is it so terribly wrong to be anti-Jew and not so terribly wrong to be anti-Buddhist? Or what about anti-Hindu? And what about anti-Islamic? What's wrong with this? You know, if we can be anti-Islamic, if we can be anti-Hindu and anti-Buddhist, why can't we be anti-Jew? Since we as Christians are against or disagree with all of these other religions, shouldn't we also be branded as anti-Hindu, anti-Buddhist, and anti-Islamic? Seems to me we should. Let's take this just one step further. We can safely assume that a Baptist would also disagree with the Catholics and the Mormons. And since a Baptist disagrees with these other denominations, couldn't he also be branded as anti-Catholic and anti-Mormon? Well, couldn't he? I think it should be obvious to anyone that every religion and denomination are anti-something. That is, they are against or disagree with those who do not profess their religion or their denomination. Well, why isn't someone crying out about all these biases? Why is it someone can speak out against the Pope, somebody can speak out against Joseph Smith and Buddha, and no one really gets upset? But speak out against a Jew or Judaism, and you're immediately denounced as anti-Semitic and worthy of front page headlines. And an analogy to people like Hitler, I don't understand. Well, with that, I'd like to have a conclusion. The purpose of this series of broadcasts has been to expose the truth about the incompatibility of Judaism and Christianity, and hopefully that mission has been accomplished. We have seen that the religion of the Jews, while it may have had some of its roots in the first five books of the Bible many, many, many years ago, the Jews destroyed those roots with their notes and commentaries, creating a root of their own, which grew from the oral law to the traditions of the elders to Phariseeism, and today it is called Judaism. Christ always spoke out against the teachings of the Pharisees or the traditions of the elders, now called Judaism, and he never tried to reconcile the difference between the two, much less merge them into Judeo-Christianity or give it any credibility. And I don't see why we should. I would like to remind you that according to a magazine called The Jewish World for March 1923, it said, fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian. Judaism is anti-Christian. That's what he says. Can any religion which is anti-Christian be glorifying to the Lord? We have seen the words of Christ telling us that as the thorn bush can only produce thorns, not grapes, and as the thistle can only produce prickles, not figs, James also told us a like story in James chapter 3, verse 11. He says, does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water. No, a fountain cannot bring forth sweet water and bitter. A fig tree cannot produce olives. A vine cannot produce figs. And salt water cannot be made sweet. These things are all contradictions and impossibilities in nature. Likewise, the tongue of the Pharisees in the days of Christ and the Jews of today cannot do that which is impossible. They cannot produce good fruit from thorns and thistles. In other words, they cannot produce good fruit preaching the precepts of Judaism. You know, if we go back to the early history of this country, in 1776, this country announced its freedom to the world and proclaimed itself as a Christian nation. It did not proclaim itself as a Judeo-Christian nation. But it has taken some 200 years to almost destroy any semblance of Christianity and to replace it with modern-day Judeo-Christianity. And with this ungodly transformation or union, we have metamorphosized into a part of a growing new world order, espousing a new morality dominated by the philosophy of individualism or secular humanism. What we see coming to pass before our very eyes is a filling up of the cup of iniquity as it was in the days of Noah, as Christ told us in Matthew 24, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, our cup of iniquity appears to be not only full, but about to bubble over. The leaven appears to have infiltrated the entire loaf, and the rising is almost complete and ready for the heat of the oven. And soon will be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, as all I can add to that is the following words from Scripture out of Revelations chapter 22, verse 20. Revelations chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What can be added to the Word of God? Well, I hope that I have answered all of your questions on Judeo-Christianity and shown you that there is an impossibility in using the words Judeo-Christianity. They cannot be used together. It's like calling somebody a virgin whore. It is absolutely an impossibility.